I thought it was going to be a five-game series just because I think Boston's so much more talented.
Aaron Baines off the miss, banks it home. Baines lobs it inside, broken up beautifully by Baines. Baines passed through it right to Baines. Smart to Baines.
NBA Strayer, how you going? That's right, man. It's NBA Strayer. It's episode 118. It's Monday, May 14. Where's the year going, bro? I'm your host, James Clements. I'm a writer for Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull, The Brooklyn Game, and whoever else wants to pay me money. And that's right, man. I'm here in New York City, New York, in Larry Ama Studios, making sure you know who's doing what, where they're doing it, why they're doing it, who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball in the NBA today, just while repping Strayer. Just a little bit. That's what we do, man. So today's show wraps the biggest beatdown in Boston since a bunch of jokers threw some tea off a ship. We also have playoff editions of the usual dumbassery. That means, yeah, nah, the unpopular opinion of the day, and Outback Takehouse. Get some shrimp with your takes. And as we do every day, we've got the Australian Player Watch, where we check in on what the remaining Australian, Aaron Bangers Baines, in the NBA got up to. And it's Monday. We also play the Andrew Gaze Fundamentally Sound Grey Mamba Award, and we finish up with a brand new Delhi review. Woo! And Delhi, you get stuck in, I'll tell you that much. All right, it's legendary. So let's do it. It's episode 118. It's NBA Strayer. Let's go!
Oi, 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 it's old mate Delhi over here. That's right, Matty Dellavedova. And you're listening to NBA Strayer.
Watch out for the Shaq attack.
Oh, you better, because it's NBA Strayer and we do as we do every day. We start with the whip around, the daily whip around. And look, there was one game last night, one game for the entire weekend. I finally had like the broken of, you know, the 3 days. No basketball. It came back. It was like a fucking rush. I assume that's what heroin's like. Once you try it once, you'll never go back, bro. Ugh. How about you don't try it at the start? Anyway, Celtics beat the Cavs 108-83. Celtics win very fucking handily, I'll tell you that much. The Celtics, an almighty smackdown from the very start of this game. It was 36-18 in the opening quarter. They led by 26 at the half. And even though LeBron has played more playoff games than the entire Celtics roster combined, it didn't matter, bro. It's a Sunday afternoon in Boston. Everyone's psyched. Everyone named Sully and Murph has had like 80 beers already. And the Celtics themselves, man, their perimeter defense was terrifyingly better than anything the Cavs had seen from the Toronto Raptors, the LeBronto Raptors. This was amazing. It was really fun. The switching that the Celtics used on like Kevin Love and LeBron was pretty remarkable. They'd switch everything, go one-on-one, basically, even if they had like a little guy matched up on the big dude. And then as soon as the Cavs tried to swing the ball into the post or try to do something else, the Cavs would sort of switch or throw a double team at them. And it worked a fucking treat. They scored 17 points off Cavs turnovers. It could have been way more, but they started pulling it all back in the third quarter because they were crushing the Cavs. And that was it, man. Like, the Celtics just straight punked the Cavs. LeBron was all like, mate, I just used game one to figure out teams. Like, I don't know. How about you come out and play, you fucking idiot? This is crazy. So let's talk about the Cavs first, shall we? I mean, sure. What do you reckon, Stephen A. Smith?
Cleveland.
That's right. It was Cleveland. And they shot 36% from the field. Ugh. What do you reckon, Key and Peele? They got straight killed. Didn't hit a three in the first half. They went 4 of 26 overall, man. Oh, that is just... What do you think, Stephen A?
This is horrible. There's no other way to put it.
There is no other way to put it. 4 of 26 from three is just the worst. 2 of 14 between LeBron, Kevin Love, and Kyle Korver. Kyle! That was unbelievable. They couldn't hit the side of a fucking Werribee shit shed. So LeBron ends up with 5 of 16 shooting, 15 points, 7 rebounds, 9 assists, and 7 turnovers. and just looked all kind of out of sorts. He's like, oh, wait, so this team's actually trying and actually gives a fuck. This is a little bit different to Toronto. Kevin Love turned back into Kevin Love of yore as opposed to Kevin Love of Toronto. Goes 5 of 14, ends up with 17 points. Tristan Thompson, 8 points, 11 rebounds. And legitimately, that was like basically it. The rest of the team just shit the bed. They had 4 double-figure scorers, and the other two were like a shit show from Jordan Crawford Clarkson and 11 for Rodney Spud Hood. But that came when they were just basically Dunsky, mate. So what the hell, Cleveland? We're talking about like this insane offense and Boston go, oh yeah, we see your offense and raise you a fucking terrifying defense. And the Cavs had no answers whatsoever. They eventually sort of figured out, oh, if we go really big, bro, maybe they won't kick the shit out of us. And it's like, yeah, that's what you got to do. You got to have Tristan Thompson. You got to have Kevin Love out there as well and just go, hey, how do we make the Celtics feel uncomfortable in the way that they're playing? Oh, it turns out not having a LeBron and 4 shooters, it turns out having a LeBron and some big dudes who can fucking rebound, forcing Boston to play lineups they don't want to play, which is either Morris and Horford, Morris, Horford, or Baines. Basically two big dudes and then Tatum, Rozier, and Brown. So it was a tricky one. And the Cavs, I don't know, they just got fucking straight cool. So how about the Celtics? 51% from the field. They shoot 36% from three as well. 11 of 30. Absolutely bloody crushed it, bro. Just really good shooting from the outside. Especially considering it was their starters that did all the damage from three. Their bench went 1 of 9 from three. Whereas the starters, woo, much better. You have the 10. There you go. That's right. No, that's not right. It's got to be, hang on a second. White. They didn't add it up right. There you go. So there you go. The starters, though, still crush it. They go 10 on 1. There you go. That's right. That's the right stat. They hit 10 threes. The bench hits 1. That's not great from the Celtics bench, but hey, if the starters get it done, they get it done. And it was all due to basically Al fucking Horford start 7 of 7 from the field. We'll talk about him later. He might win the Grey Mamba Fundamentally Sound Award, but he ends up with 24 and 6. 20 points, 4 rebounds, 6 assists. That's not 24 points and 6. It's 20 points, 4 rebounds, 6 assists, and 2 blocks. Jason fucking Tatum, 16, 6 and 3, 6 of 11. And Jaylen Brown, unbelievable. 23 points, 8 rebounds, 9 of 16 from the field, 3 of 5 from 3. He was on like Kong. There was an amazing sequence late in the second quarter where he blocked Kevin Love's shot. Marcus Mook Morris saves it. Jaylen Brown gets it back from Morris, sprints up the court, hands the ball off real quick, and then gets it back, dribbles in, falls over, goes back, and hits a long two. It was unreal. That's right, Brooklyn Nets own Jaylen Brown. Marcus Morris, as mentioned, 21 and 10. We'll talk about him in a second. And Marcus Smart. Every time you can get like a bunch of dudes named Marcus on the Boston Celtics, you got to do it. So Smart had 9.6 rebounds, 6 assists rather, 4 of 12 from the field, and Terry Rozier. Scary Terry, 8 points, 8 assists, absolutely crushed it. Probably the worst game he's played at home this postseason for Terry Rozier, but not bad still, 8 and 8. And some lady wagging a fucking Scary Terry t-shirt right in his face. He's like, hey, that's a nice t-shirt. So there you go, game one of the Eastern Conference Finals. The fucking Celtics smashed him. They wrecked that ass. And there wasn't too much to it. Like, this was a fucking wrap, basically, after the first quarter. You expected the Cavs to come back a little bit. And the Celtics went, yeah, nah, actually, we're going to fucking keep smashing you. So that's what happened. That's how it goes. Celtics, they just look so much more complete than the Cavs yesterday. I mean, look, the Cavs aren't going to miss everything again like they did in game one. But at the same time, that Celtics defense is making sure that those three-pointers that they missed, that 4 of 26 shooting, wasn't like a bunch of wide open shots that they straight missed. This happened to the Sixers in game one against the Celtics as well. Don't forget. So yeah, man, it's all like, hey, what do you reckon there, Pelo? I reckon the Celtics look pretty bloody good. That's what I reckon. So let's move on to the NBA Strayer approved performance of the night.
That's not nice. That's a nice.
That was a fucking night, Mook Morris. Holy shit. Marcus Morris called his shot like shot caller that Deli's going to talk about later. That's not actually how the movie works. Mook Morris ends up with 21 points, 10 rebounds after talking a heap of shit about being able to shut down LeBron. He's like, man, it's like, I'm probably the second best after Kawhi. And you know what? LeBron's 15 points on 16 shots tells a fucking story right there. And the story is that Marcus Morris is insane and that Boston Celtics defense is legit. But that was a hell of a fucking knife performance by Morris. Like, to go out there and go, hey, man, I'm pretty fucking good. And they're going to start me and it's going to be awesome. He goes 7 of 12 from the field, 3 of 4 from 3, and ends up with 21 points, 10 rebounds. Absolutely crushed it. LeBron, meanwhile, ends up, as mentioned, 5 of 16 for 15 points. Kobe. Yes, that's some Kobe shooting right there. On you, Mook Morris. That was a hell of a performance. So how about old mate No Mates today, though? Ooh, this is a fucking fun one.
Old mate, no mates.
Who's No Mates today? It's got to be Jordan Crawford Clarkson. So we're going to talk about LeBron breaking down the start of the fourth quarter in insane detail. But the best part was he fucks up his teammate's name and calls him Jordan Crawford as opposed to Jordan Clarkson. Now, when your teammates are LeBron, he forgets your name. You're definitely old mate, no mates. But also, another part of the Cavs' old mate, no mates, Kevin Love. Come on, man. We just got through this series of going, hey, man, Kevin Love's back. I love it. And he ends up with 17-8 last night, but just looked shithouse. 1-4 from 3, 5-14 from the field. Not great. Minus 13. The stats don't really give rise to how bad Kevin Love looked last night, because anytime any Celtic on offense had the ball and Kevin Love their orbit, they went right at the fucking guy. That's how Morris ends up with so fucking with 21 and 10, and Al Horford ends up with 20 points as well. The two of those combined shot 15 of 22. Woo! Not bloody bad, man. And that's, look, I'll stand for Kevin Love. I'll get a bit of time for him, but Jesus, that was a defensive shit show. Come on, mate. Pull up your fucking pants. Speaking of which, who was the bitch-ass of the night? That's right, man. The bitch-ass of the night. It's the entire Cavs team. Like, come on. You can't shoot 36%, 15.4% from the three-point line in game one of the Eastern Conference Finals and go, oh, look, we're going to flip the switch when we get back to Cleveland. Don't worry about that. No, you've got to win one of these fucking Boston games and you can't come out and get so fucking easily punked that it's ridiculous from the very jump, especially when the Celtics have had a little bit less relaxation time. So come on, man, what are you fucking doing, you spuds? Oh, speaking of which, we've got a new segment, Spud of the Night.
Spud of the night.
To Jeff Green, 20 minutes, 6 points, 1 of 3 from the field, 0 of 1 from 3, 1 rebound, 1 assist. Looked absolutely rubbish, like a really dumb chicken running around with his head cut off. Him and Rodney Hood just absolutely sputtered up the joint. It was like a fucking Nutterwadding fish and chip shop in there. Just fucking chips flying everywhere, mate. So many spuds. Jeff Green, that was fucking horrendous. Seriously, like trick or treat Tony, give me some trick or treat Jeff. Jesus. Unbelievable. So how about better than Lonzo Ball, though? This is going to be interesting, right?
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're going to get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros. Now I can be average.
Coming for everybody. If that involves beating a bunch of spuds in a receded gym while your dad's shitty big baller league tries to kick off and flounders. Yeah, that's right. So better than Lonzo Ball and better than Markelle Fultz is the number 3 pick in last year's draft, Jason Tatum. 16 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, 1 block, 6 of 11 from the field, 2 of 5 from 3, a plus 27. That is unbelievable. Absolutely fucking dominated too. Looked so fucking good. Basically by the second quarter, he's like, pretty sure we've got this. And Brad Stevens like, hey man, do you want to keep attacking the basket? Nah. And he's like, all right, maybe a couple more times. And then they just sort of fucking packed him up and packed in cotton wool. I'm like, hey man, done. It's all right. You did your job, Jason. Good job, mate. So both the double J's are amazing. Like, this was fun as hell. Between Tatum with 16 and Brown with 23, they were everywhere. And goddamn, they're good. So yeah, Jason Tatum, look, better than Lonzo Ball, better than Markelle Fultz, a little better than two blokes who can't shoot, one of whom looks like a Mad Max extra and clearly can't read, and the other one was stuck by TJ McConnell on the Sixers bench. So good job, Jason Tatum, just out there dominating the Cavs in the Eastern Conference Finals. Whoa, that was a hell of a game. So let's get on to Yeah Nahs right after, let's say, these words.
G'day, this is Thon McCurr, and you're listening to NBA Straya.
All right, we're back. It's NBA Straya. It's Yeah Nah. We take three NBA storylines, decide whether they're more yeah or more nah. Number one, LeBron is a basketball savant. Yeah, nah. Yes. Oh, my God. His memory is fucking insane. Have you watched the video clip of him, like, recounting exactly what happened in every play that went down at the start of the fourth quarter? It was absolutely fucking terrifying. The best part is, while everyone's losing their minds about how he's got a video holographic photographic memory of every play that went down, he still forgot his teammate's name, Jordan Crawford Clarkson. Ah, LeBron, never stop. Oh, man, so there you go. Look, Celtics are up 1-0. Number two, even if they end up losing this series, which doesn't look all that likely at the moment, will the Celtics be unstoppable next year? Yeah, nah, yes, holy shit. How good is this defense already? And look, Kyrie, clearly not the defender that Marcus Smart or even Terry Rozier is. But Jesus, a little bit more class on the offensive end with Kyrie and Gordon fucking Hayward thrown into this. Watch the fuck out. That is unbelievable. I mean, unless the Sixers get Kawhi or something. Jesus, that is unreal. And speaking of the Celtics, there was a little controversy that popped off on Twitter over the weekend where, like, some nufty posted a picture of Larry Bird. He's like, man, tell me as if this motherfucker could score more than 10 points a game in 2018. So would Larry Bird score more than 10 points a game in 2018? Yeah, nah! Yes! Of fucking course he would. This is the dude who turned around, looked at the fucking Nuggets bench, went, hey, motherfuckers, I'm scoring 43 tonight. Scored 43 by halfway through the third quarter and then benched himself the rest of the game because they were kicking their ass so fucking much. Larry Bird was a fucking straight killer. He would average fucking so many fucking points in today's NBA where it's a little bit more wide open. The terrifying advances we now have in, like, sports medicine where he doesn't have a fucked back from doing his own fucking gravel driveway. Get the fuck out of here. Larry Bird, Larry Legend. Look, I'm not saying that's why my dog's name Larry, but it is. what do you reckon, Larry? Yeah, all right, you dickhead. Nice one. And then final extra one. Talk about my Seattle Supersonics. Nick Young on Twitter was like, if Gary Payton could shoot like Steph, Shrimp, I'm assuming that means meant to be Detlef Shrimp, can do what KD do, and Hersey Hawkins was Clay, and Kemp could play make like Green, will the Bulls still win? Yeah, nah, get the fuck out of here. You're a fucking psycho if you reckon the Bulls would have beaten the Sonics if Gary Payton could shoot like Steph, Detlef Shrimp could do what KD do, and Hersey Hawkins could shoot like Klay Thompson, and Kemp could playmake like Green. Dude, they took the Bulls to six games anyway. Jesus Christ. I just don't know if old mate George Karl would have figured out how to use it properly. They could have rung up 140 a game. Who fucking knows? But yeah, come on, Nick Young. How high do you reckon he was when he posted that? I'm going to say very. Yeah, right there. All right, you ready for the unpopular opinion of the day? Let's do that.
Now look at me, please. Look at me.
It's the unpopular opinion of the day. Jason Tatum might be the best rookie of this class in, like, next year. Holy shit. Like, he already is, isn't he? Like, it's between him and Donovan fucking Mitchell. And I don't know about you, but Donovan fucking Mitchell's home. Jason Tatum out there crushing it. This is amazing. He just turned 20. His game is that fucking mature. It's terrifying. Holy crap. I mean, Donovan Mitchell is amazing. And look, who knows about Lonzo Ball, Markelle Fultz, who knows? But Jesus Christ, man. Woo, Jason Tatum. Unfucking real. All right, let's get into Outback Takehouse though, shall we? Welcome to Outback Takehouse. It's Monday, so come into Outback and get double shrimp with your flame grilled takes. And here is today's flame grilled take. LeBron James is washed. And because of the Celtics and Sixers, this is the last time the Cavs will be in the conference finals for the next 20 years. Only at Outback. Outback Steakhouse. Wow, that is a flame grill take. I don't think LeBron's washed just yet. So anyway, let's get to the Australian Player Watch and some other fun shit right after these words.
Oh, kia ora, Bruce. This is Stephen Adams, eh, Brew? And you're listening to NBA Stray, eh? Cheer, Brew.
Yeah, we're back. NBA Stray, it's Australian Player Watch. We've got our one remaining Aussie, and he was in action last night. That's Aaron Bangers Baines. And as predicted, in game one, he came off the bench, basically shadowing Tristan Thompson and figuring out that, like, hey, man, like, I don't have to take threes. And look, Baines fucking crushed it. You might have heard the highlights at the start of this episode. He goes 2 of 5 from the field, doesn't take a three, ends up with 4 points, but 8 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, and a block, plus 17 for the game as well, mate. What a game, Bangers. That was unreal. Negated Tristan Thompson coming off the bench and absolutely fucking crushed it. 2 points, 4 rebounds. Oh, sorry. 4 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, and a block. That was bloody awesome, Bangers. Out there, the couple of steals that he had were really, really good too. Just the way that the Celtics use him defensively, it's pretty similar to what they did to Giannis in round one and then Big Simo, Ben Simmons, in round two. They throw their big dude in the middle of the floor, basically, as LeBron's coming up. Or basically the ball handler, and they just throw the big man in the middle, get him the head sort of towards a little bit back towards the key if he needs to. But they just throw a fucking huge body in front of the ball handler and go, all right, best of luck getting around this motherfucker. And a lot of the times, they can't. I mean, LeBron got past Bangers once, and Bangers got called for a foul, and it was absolutely rubbish. Bangers just was a little bit too side-on, but the rest of his game was unreal, man. So good on you, Bangers. That's a good job. And meanwhile, everybody else is at home. That's right, Ben Simmons, Dante, Jingling Joe. Jingling Joe's moving back to Australia, I guess. Moving day. They've either moved house or they've popped back to Australia for this for the American summer. Who knows? Patty Mills, Dally, Thon, Bogut hanging out in there and looking at real estate in Sydney. It's unreal. So, speaking of which, Australian NBA players, let's go to. It is time for the Andrew Gaze Grey Mamba Fundamentally Sound Award of the Week. That's right, and it goes to Al Horford, mate. This was awesome. Could not be more fundamentally sound. Started 7 of 7 from the field and 7 of 8 over Kevin Love. The one shot that Al Horford missed when he was matched up against Kevin Love was a 26-foot three-pointer. So he ends up with 20 points, 6 assists, was a plus 17 for the game. And the best part of his fundamentally sound bit is that he's the most fundamentally sound big man we've probably seen since Tim Duncan. And Tim Duncan learned at the knee of the Grey Mamba himself, Andrew Gaze. So there you go, a direct line to Gazey and Horford. Out there directing that defense, directing that offense, 6 assists. That is just, whoo, that is Grey Mamba-esque to go with the 7 of 7 shooting. So Horford couldn't be more fundamentally correct in everything he does. Therefore, he is our Andrew Gaze, Grey Mamba Fundamentally Sound Award winner for this week. On your big Al Horford. All right, coming up next, we've got the Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Inspiration Board and a big, big preview for tonight's Western Conference Finals Game 1. It's going to be awesome, and it'll be right after these words.
G'day, this is PDX Pete. When I'm not sipping on IPAs or throwing down voodoo donuts, I'm tuning in to NBA Straya. Fuck yeah.
This is Andrew Bogut, and you are listening to NBA Straya.
All right, we're back. It's NBA Straya. It's time for the Patty Mills Game Day Bull, a Game Day Inspiration Board. But hey, man, I'm just saying, we should probably change this to the Jingling Joe Ingles Inspiration Board. Because look, at the end of the season, Jingles just turned it back on. And look, Joe Ingles tweeted out a little bit of an Insta post that he had with a picture of him and all his teammates. And Jingling Joe says, huge thanks to all the Jazz family and our amazing fans for the support. Proud to be a part of this team. Already looking forward to next year. Renee Ingles, a star all season as usual. Thanks to everything you do behind the scenes that no one knows. And the twins, you are a daily motivation. Heart emoji. Ah, jingler. That's inspiring as shit. Unbelievable. So, good job, mate. And look, I'm looking forward to, seeing what Jingles does over this summer. It's going to be fascinating. So, let's get on to tonight's game preview. It is the Western Conference Finals. It is the Golden State Warriors at the Houston Rockets. That's right. Golden State don't have home court advantage for the first time in a playoff series since 2014. And it's in Houston. And you know what? This is going to be fun as shit. So we're going to break down a couple of the matchups here. So look, a lot of this comes down to the shooting of both sides and obviously of whether or not the Rockets defense can hold up. So let's go through 1 through 5, the position battles. So obviously at the point of attack, we've got Steph versus CP3. And CP3 usually has the book on Steph a little bit defensively, right? Gets up in his shit, slows him down, chips him all the time, talks a bit of shit, hurts him, fucking just the old bang right there, Fred, the old 1-2 Costa Zoo, just underneath his skin the entire time, and I love it. And especially with Steph slowed down with a bit of a knee injury, do you reckon that'll be enough of a difference to give CP3 a real edge? Yes, I think it fucking will be. 90% Steph is something that CP3 can still handle. Especially, look, with the rest of the perimeter fucking talent on this Houston Rockets team defensively, man, this is going to be fun as hell. So Steph versus CP3 is pretty fucking fascinating. And then you've got Harden versus Clay, which is, oh shit, level awesome. Clay was off shooting a little bit in the last series, whereas Harden, look, he was a little bit under the weather. And when I say under the weather, I'm usually just going to say strippers. Yes, that is under the weather, I guess. So meanwhile, Clay in the last series shot 38% from the field and 27% from three. You can't imagine that happening again, especially with who Houston are going to be having to use on him. And they're going to be hiding Harden as often as they possibly can. Clay is just going to be running through screen after screen after screen after screen. Just got to wonder, though, with the switchiness of that Rockets defense, whether or not Clay will get going or not. And I expect him to bounce back. Meanwhile, Harden, look, he'll just go off and be crazy, but I can't see him, like, you know, averaging 40 like you'd usually expect. So this is, especially with his beard still dripping with stripper glitter from the, oh, I'm under the weather. Yeah, it's all that fucking, all the wings you've been eating at the strippers in Houston. So Harden, Clay is amazing. The three, Ariza and Luka Mbarumute versus the coward Kevin Durant. I mean, between Ariza and Luka Mbarumute, they've both got the length to cover KD. And you got to imagine that those three players and also then PJ Tucker and Iguodala will be sort of switching around with the 3 and 4 spot to the point where it probably won't matter. PJ's been fucking good as well, man. Through the playoffs, he's been averaging, he's been shooting 54% from the field and 52% from three. He had 19 in that closeout game over the Jazz. Pretty bloody good. Shot 5 of 7 from three. So between Ariza, Luka Mbarumute, and PJ Tucker, that's enough length to really, I think, bother KD and Iggy. The thing is, the coward Kevin Durant is just immense, and I don't know how much length will really give him that much of a shit. It's more about stopping his playmaking and getting him to pick up his dribble and going, all right, the coward, go on, shoot it. And he's that good shooting that it might not matter. So, but look, I can't imagine like three dudes more suited to trying to stop KD and Iggy, right? And then you got Clint Capella and Draymond fucking the ball kicker, Green over there as well, which is tasty. So Capella being switched out on the perimeter, same as Dre, while also protecting the rim, that's going to hinge on him a lot for the Rockets' D. And I mean, at least Dre's got the coward Kevin Durant with him behind, you know, to block a couple of shots. But Jesus, man, this is just brutal. And the benches, you've got Golden State, you've got Sean Livingston, David West, a bit of Nick Young, and their big dudes like Kevon Looney and Jordan Bell thrown in there too. Whew, where's the Rockets? Man, they got Rhino, they got Eric Gordon. Going to be very, very tricky. What do you reckon? I mean, the Rockets match up really, really, really well with the Warriors. So I think they get game one, but then Golden State probably pulls its couple of moves out of its ass and then smashes them in game two. That's kind of my prediction. But for game one tonight, I'm going to pick the Rockets, but I think this is fascinating. Look, I think we all kind of slept on this. I mentioned like last week, I'm like, I'm not that excited. Now it's today. I'm kind of like, this could be fucking awesome. So Look, give me the Rockets tonight. It's going to be fun and like basically fun as hell to watch regardless. And I am stoked for it. So give me more basketball. Look, I want this to go seven. I think I picked, what did I pick? The Rock Warriors in seven. I think last week I picked them. So, hey, I'm going to stick with that. But I reckon the Rockets win tonight and we see some really fun matchups. I feel like they might just be a little bit more on point and the Warriors will play themselves into the series in game two. But there you go. Rockets tonight, I think they win. And who knows? It's going to be fun as shit regardless. So that's it for today, man. We are flying through these ones now, huh? How good is it when there's only like a little bit of stuff to cover? And we'll be back tomorrow with a whole bunch of shit. We'll be wrapping tonight's game. Obviously, we'll be previewing game two of the Celtics and Cavs. In the meantime, follow us on Twitter at NBA Australia. Like us on Facebook. Check us out on Insta. There's always stuff going on the NBA Australia social media channels. Make sure you subscribe to NBA Australia or on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, wherever else you get your goddamn podcast. Chuck us a nice 5-star rating and review while you're at it. Go on, don't be a coward. Thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. Go check out House Hats, the best band in Australia. Their new single, Stop, is absolutely crushing it. So go request it on Triple J, would ya? Good fucking tune. Extra special thanks to legends at Green Green Green, Iowa, Fascinator, Dozers, Sex Jedi, and the Ramshackle Army for the tunes you heard throughout the episode. Go check them all out on Bandcamp and Facey. Remember, NBA Australia supports Australian bands. Give them a smash. They're awesome. And that's it, man. Stick around for a brand new Deli review as Deli reviews Shot Caller. Sure. And we'll catch us all tomorrow, you dickheads. This is NBA Australia saying, Lederhosen.
Oi, 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 how the fuck are you? It's old mate Deli over here, hey? Just like chilling out in the off season, just hanging out, sitting around, sinking a few Corona tinnies, bothering the missus and watching movies. Just here for my NBA Australia pop culture review as usual. Living the dream, mate. And look, I'm out here watching like the bloody Celtics out there smashing my old mates, the Cavs. So I got on the old blower to my old mate, Mucker LeBron, and I'm like giving him some like advice and shit. And I said to him, I said, look, mate, I know it's a bit late in the season and shit, and I've already played him in the playoffs, but hey, like if you can get Kendrick bloody Perkins on your team, why can't I come down and you can sign me for like the championship run? But yeah, nah, turns out you can't do that, which I reckon is fucking bullshit, mate. I mean, what's to stop me from joining up with the Cavs? Bunch of rules that are more rubbish than the fucking Maribyrra tip, mate. It is fucking bullshit. So, looks like I'm not going to be able to play for the Cavs this postseason, so I've been watching a bunch of movies in my spare time, which is basically all my time. So, thing is, I can't remember too many of them because of all the cans I've been smashing. Mate, you go through a season not smashing cans, you get out of it, and it's fucking raining Corona tinnies, I'll tell you, mate. Just a bunch of Barbies, a bunch of Corona tinnies, just hanging out in Milwaukee. It's fucking sick as. But the best movie I reckon I've seen was this absolute fucking pearler. It's called Shot Caller, and it stars that Jaime Lannister from Game of Thrones, eh? And I've got to tell you, it was fucking sick as, mate. Like, he's like this big short business cunt and he ends up in jail and shit and gets fucking hard as. And it's like Jaime Lannister Breaking Bad. It's fucking fully sick. There's like heaps of violence and ass kicking and shit like that. And just like some fully sick shootouts and some fucking full on gang shit. And you never know what's gonna fucking happen, I'll tell you. And the best bit is, Jaime fucking Lannister has got this fucking mustache. It's sick. Fucking as, mate. It's like my best mate Plugger from Maribyrra's Mo, and he's like a real life fucking plumber. It's not like one of those Joe Danaher puby Mo's neither. It's full and it's amazing. So, Shot Caller, beside like Black Panther and Avengers, is probably like my favorite movie ever of this year, you know? So, there you go. It's sick as Shot Caller. I reckon you need to go see it right fucking now, eh? I watched it on like the Amazons or some shit, but it was fully fucking sick, mate. Shot Caller. Jaime Lannister, Breaking Bad. It's easy 10 out of fucking 10 Deli ones, mate. So go watch Shot Caller. It's fucking unreal. And there you go. That's it for me, NBA Australia pop culture review for this week. I'm going to go smash some Corona tinnies, and I'll speak to you next week. All right, later, cunts. Deli out.